It's Friday, August 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Hey everyone, thank goodness it's Friday. Are you all ready for the weekend? I sure am. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? Are you ready for the weekend? I am just absolutely ready. It's been one of those kind of strange weeks. You know, every afternoon, or actually around lunchtime, when some of my coworkers and I get together and we go out for lunch, and we did it a couple of times this week, but people usually brown bag, but I don't know what it was. Everyone said, let's go out and have a bite to eat. But everyone would be like, is today like Tuesday when it was Wednesday? And it just seems like no one could get the day right. But it's just, you know, tonight at the dinner table, my wife is like, don't you have a show to do tonight? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. So it's been odd. It really, really has. But lots been going on. I think when you're busy, it's just time flies. And be honest with you, I'm like, where did the week go? It really went quick. Time is really fast approaching here. I've got my eyeball on the calendar, because I have about two months left, really, 2 months in the Navy left, and I've got really about 4 working weeks left, because I got some vacation time I have to burn. So I told her that tonight. She's like, wow. So it's right around the corner. But between now and then, we got a lot of things to accomplish. And if any of you are going to be out here in Hawaii in the first week of October, I'd like to invite you to a special event. So if you're going to be out here in this area, definitely send me an email. All of my Hawaiian listeners, you'll definitely want to send me an email, get you an invitation to my retirement ceremony. Let me talk a little bit more about that as we get close. But of course, you're here to listen to tech, not to hear me talk about what's forthcoming in the next couple of months. I'll kind of fill you in a little bit about the process. But right now, what we got going on is the podcast awards are hot and heavy. Wow. Traffic is just, at this point, I'm just kind of dumbfounded on the amount of traffic coming in to the website and the amount of voting that's going on. And we're trying to keep a running log of all the unique IPs that we're seeing coming in. And we're doing some measurements so we'll know after everything's all over exactly how many people actually came in and voted. And I'll be excited to share that information with you, because I think everyone is going to be pretty surprised. Well, I got my term paper turned in. I haven't got a grade back on it yet, because I've been doing so much typing. I got the carpal tunnel starting to settle in again, and I don't know what it is. You know, once you kind of get carpal tunnel, you really never ever get rid of it. You have to be real careful. So I will. I've been doing my little special exercise that I do, and that seems to have been helping. And the thing is, you kind of get it to go away, and you forget to do the exercise, and the next thing you know, it's bothering you again. But that's just something that all of us have to deal with when we're on the computer a lot. Okay, what else have I got going? And beyond that, we're also starting to really focus in on the Podcast Expo, and that's coming up at the end of September. So if you're going to be out at the Podcast Expo, you're definitely going to want to wear some true colors. If you want to pick up some, we call it blueberry wear. We've got some blueberry shirts and stuff that we have available online. Don't have any Geek News Central shirts. I've never really been big into making shirts up for the show. Some of you have asked for it in the past. But maybe I ought to look at that at some point. But I'll have some links up in the show notes tonight. If you're coming out to the expo, definitely want to have you wear some of the colors or some of the actual shirts with our logos on them. We're going to be giving away special prizes to those that show up at the booth with the company shirts and so forth on. Along with that, I've got a kind of a quick announcement. I'm looking for someone that is good in sales. So I have a sales opportunity for someone that's willing to put some hours in part-time. So if you have a sales background and you're not afraid of picking up the telephone, this is the key. If you're not afraid of picking up the telephone and want a good opportunity to earn some significant dollars, definitely send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and kind of share with you what we're doing. We're exploring some new things over at Raw Voice. I'm pretty excited about it. I can't talk about. We had this revelation earlier in the week, or actually not earlier in the week, but kind of it's been forming for a couple of weeks based on some other discussions we've been having with some companies. And I said, man, why aren't we doing this? And everyone said, yeah, how come we're not? And this is kind of in relation to this. We're going to be running some experiments too, not on this show, but we're going to be doing some test market stuff. So we're looking forward to that, getting that kicked off. All right, what else is going on? Hey, I want to quickly update you on, before we get into the tech here tonight, I want to quickly update you, let you know how my mom's doing. Some of you follow her show over at SherryCast at SherryCast.com. We haven't done a show in a couple of weeks. Her and I have got to get one of those knocked out. But she's at the peak season of her, you know, really at the peak time of the year where she's really working hard. And having lost my dad, you know, at the a year ago, well, not quite a year yet. At the end of this month, it'll be a year. She's been working on her own. And now that my sister and her children are in Virginia, and she's essentially completely on her own. And so it's been a little bit of a change for her here recently. But she's doing real well and holding her own. She's a tough bird. She really, really is. And if you guys get a chance, check out the Sherry Cast. I'll kind of give you a different insight into kind of that side of the house on things or with my family. But anyway, enough on that. Let me see what I've got here else in the stack. Wow. Got some interesting voicemails. I have definitely poked you guys one or too many times on the certain pronunciation of a certain word. And we'll get to that at the end of the show. So I have been practicing for you, okay, so that I will not mess it up, all right? But before we get into the content tonight, these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or families, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business, associates, families, and friends. And I think the thing I like to tell people and I've been sharing with people recently is they're saying, well, I don't do a lot of meetings online. You may be surprised the number of times you pick up the phone and make a call, and if you're just able to bring up a screen and share that screen with someone, how much more efficient that would be for a meeting. And I always tell people, we're giving the opportunity to get a free 30-day trial. If you go out and download it and sign up and get that no credit card required trial, do a few sessions with some people and see the absolute value in this. You know, get out there and actually use the product for a month and give it a run for its money and see if it'll fit into what you want to do. But again, you can get a free 30-day trial. You can visit that gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. There's a link on the front of the website that you can use. So you can go that way as well to get to the website. Hey, I got a question on the last show asking me about some of the survey results that that I have gotten from all of you. And I want to give you an update on this. And this was a survey that we did back in March with you. And I had 2,670 of you actually fill out the survey. And just to give you a few indications of who you all are so that you know, you all know who you are, but I'll give you an idea on some of the info that we have. The biggest segment of listeners have been listening to the show for at least a year, which was 25%, with 24% of you being here for at least 2 years. And there was a good growing segment of 11% that was started listening less than 3 months ago. Many of you, 51% of you, actually read the blog on non-show days as well. 71% of you that responded to the newsletter are subscribed to the newsletter. The median age has shifted a little bit since the last time we did this, but 29% of you are in the 40 to 50 range, quickly followed by the 35 to 40 range at 17%. And then it kind of drops down almost in a shape of a triangle from there. Definitely very few people in the under 17 range, but we do have a number of you that are 55 and older, 10% that are listening. Show split about 91% male, 9% female, and 89% of you hang out for the voicemail portion of the phone. About 95% of you resoundingly said that you enjoy my updates at the beginning of the show. And then I had asked how many of you had actually used a GoDaddy promo code. 75% of you said you had. And then there was a question on how many of you had actually had tried GoToMeeting. And that was considerably lower. 92% of you haven't. So I know there's a good opportunity for all of you out there to try GoToMeeting. So give that a shot when you get a chance. 62% of you did not want me to do three shows a week, although 37% of you said you did, which is a little bit up from the last time. I'm not going to get into the income ranges too much, but I was really, really surprised that the median income range was in the 40 to 60K range. 23% of you said you made that much. But what blew me away was 21% of you make over 100K a year. So y'all making some bank out there, that's for sure. Current education level, 33% of you have bachelor's degrees, 14% of you have master's. Some of you are college students, and we have a pretty equal proportion between high school grads, college students, associates, and master's. There's about 3% of you that have PhDs, and then a significant number of you that have different professional certificates as well. 64% of you are married. 46% of you have kids at home, and 14% of you have kids that have grown all up. 38% of you have no kids. And here's the thing I found truly surprising as well, is how much do you spend online? $500 to $1,000 per year was about 25%, with $2,000 to $2,500 per year being spent by 17% of you. The number of podcasts that people listen to was surprising. I didn't have a category that went high enough in numbers, because you all specified in huge quantities. Over 54% of you gave me a different number that was above six. So six of the number of podcasts most of you listen to, just kind of as a cursory look at the other responses, was 10 and above. So that was pretty significant. 52% of you listen on your computer. 42% of you listen on an iPod. Now, this was we allowed you to choose multiple choice. If you listen to iPod, MP3, computer, so it was able to give me a tendency to understand where you all were listening. So primarily was iPod, MP3, and a computer with PDA and mobile phones falling in there as well. 20% of you had watched a Tech Podcast Roundtable. 77% of you had visited blueberry.com. 92% of you were not podcasters. But what's surprising about this was that 32% of you said you were a potential podcaster. And you overwhelmingly visit either the iTunes podcast directory, Tech Podcast, or Blueberry, much higher than any of the other websites out there. Podcast Alley came in at about 10%. Blueberry at 22, Tech Podcast at 11, and iTunes was in at 46. And let's see here. Lots of great comments as well in that. So that kind of gives you the idea of the survey results from, and I want to thank all of you for participating in that before. I thought I should go in and give you the results on that. And I use that in my media kit that I build out that we present to advertisers for this specific show. So thank you for your answers, and definitely appreciate your continued support. And like I said earlier, I want to thank you all for continuing to support the sponsors of the show as well. It helps keep things going here. Okay, with that, if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. And the most popular code this month was TODD. So when you check out, save an additional 10% on your order. Get your PC internet at GoDaddy.com. Geek 5 seems to be a popular one as well. 15% off your order of $20 or more. And that Pod 58 code for hosting accounts is starting to really pick up. All right, let's get into the content. That's what you're all here for. And of course, I've tried to give you content in the beginning. And let me get some windows closed here first. And there was one, oh, I know what I wanted to talk about initially, and I'm sure you're all expecting this here. Get up on my soapbox a little bit. I don't have that jingle loaded for the soapbox jingle, I apologize. But I've got a post on the website that I put up yesterday that says, Federal Communications Commission betrayed the trust of all Americans. And, you know, I'm really disappointed. A lot of people were like, "Oh, the FCC made a good decision." You know, they kind of went both ways. They tried to make Google happy, and at the same time, they tried to make the incumbent phone companies happy. But in a sense, I kind of knew that they were going to do what they did, and I didn't know exactly how it would fall out. But you know, the FCC had a chance here. They had a chance to really make a difference. They had a chance to make a ruling or make rules that would have changed the landscape of a lot of things. Just it would have opened up innovation. But the decision that they made here was that they have said that those that bid on the spectrum and win spectrum, they are going to once again be allowing these companies to have somewhat of a walled garden. So, you know, they're going to close the door on making sure that they're not going to allow. You know, they've already told these companies that you get some of the spectrum, you can do a closed service, you can have a closed network. You know, they reverse course on what could have been, again, the most positive wireless spectrum development, really, what I believe, since the invention of a radio. They have decided that those that vote on the spectrum must have open devices and open applications. That doesn't really help us a lot, folks. You know, it helps a little bit. Okay, you got an open device. You'll be able to get all kinds of different applications on the device like you had, like they have in Japan or in other countries. They're going to, you know, have to have those devices be able to have applications loaded on them. But by having a closed service and a closed network, it's really a crying shame. It really, really is. Now, what I would hope is that all of you express your displeasure, if you feel this way about this, on your blogs, to your congressional representatives. It may not help, but at least one thing it will do is give those out there that are in a position of power and willing to make, you know, those that are in a position to make change, to know that, you know, their constituents are watching what's going on in the space. It's very obvious the FCC was not brave enough to go down this full road. And I'm sure if they had, the powerhouse lobbying efforts of AT&T and Verizon would have had some court action, and you know, it would have ended up the way it is going to be. Now, if Google was smart, and here I'm betting on Google on this, that they'll go out and buy a bunch of the spectrum up, and they'll open it up. Now, let's see if they can, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk. They're going to go up there and buy some spectrum. Go ahead and buy it. But when they do, you know, let's see if they can walk the walk and that they talk. You know, it's going to be critical, I think. And we had such an opportunity here. It's really truly disappointing, in my opinion. I'm sure many of you have mixed reactions on this. And, you know, it's a half win. It's a half loss. It depends on how you want to look at this. But until, you know, this is what scares me about this whole internet thing right now in the United States. You've got countries throughout the world that are kicking our butts. I'm sorry, we are really falling behind. There's a estimation that it's going to take, someone said that of all the dark fiber that's laid in the United States, it would take $2 trillion to activate all that dark fiber. Now, I think that's just some scare number that they threw out there. But what they're saying is, and the argument is that companies like Google, companies like Cisco are making a lot of money with equipment and with services, and websites are out there making a lot of money. But these carriers, the telcos, the incumbent telcos who have all of this broadband or all this fiber and has the infrastructure, they say they're not making any money. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean they're not making any money? Have you looked at their stock price lately? Have you looked at their financials? Very, very, just very, very ambitious, false statements being made out there. You know, the incumbents are not losing money. Those stockholders are very, very happy in those industries. For them to say, oh, we're not making any money, that's wrong. But at the same time, here we have them in control. You know, some of you are starting to get Fios service. You know, Verizon's bringing fiber to your homes. But we're a long ways away from getting the rest of the country wired up. And those in the rural areas, they're really hurt. I mean, they're still on dial-up, for goodness sakes. And infrastructure is lagging. It's not a good situation because broadband speeds over the past 5 years, for the average person, my broadband speed here that I have now is the same speed that I had when I moved to Hawaii 10 years ago. My connectivity has not improved at all. Has your connectivity improved over 10 years? How long have you had a cable modem? Has your speed increased? Mine hasn't. Matter of fact, my upload speed has deteriorated. So we had a chance with this 700 megahertz spectrum to really change things here. Because the only way we're going to work our way around these incumbents is get everything wireless so there can be some competition in the space. Now, WiMAX has very, very high potential. We'll see what Sprint does there, if they are able actually to roll out WiMAX in a bigger way. And if they're teaming up with Clearwire, that's pretty exciting to me. We'll see where they go. But, we're a country that is consuming media, video and audio, in such a big, big way. You know, I don't have enough bandwidth here. How many of you are bandwidth deprived? And I hate to say that. How many of you are bandwidth deprived right now? Do you have enough bandwidth to support those in your household that are using media, consuming media, maybe watching IPTV? I couldn't even think about watching IPTV here just because it won't support it. I did see an interesting article, and it was, I'll actually talk about it now, by Mark Cuban, that kind of made me go, whoa, smart idea, Mark, is that anytime, I'm sure many of you have, you work in an office where they have an intranet, intranet. You always know when you're transferring files on the intranet at work. You know, you can just drop a huge big file into a drive somewhere, and it's there. The speed at your offices is huge. Well, the same thing is true for cable providers. When you are, for example, if I go over to Roadrunner's music offering that they have, or streaming video offering they have on their cheesy portal website, the video is queued up and boom, it comes right now. There's no waiting whatsoever. So it would make sense if these big cable providers would start getting smarter and actually doing some sort of a CDN rollout of their own, where they start bringing the internet closer to them. You know, while I would definitely want, when someone typed in geeknewscentral.com, to go to Geek News Central and get the, you know, get the freshest content. If it makes the, as long as I get the reporting data, I don't care how the media is sent to you. I don't care how it gets there, as long as it's the same media. I know that some ISPs have been using caching technology, and that has its ups and downs on how it works. But you would think that these companies would be bringing this media closer to them, because you look at YouTube content. You know, you go up there, and how many people, millions of people are watching certain YouTube videos. Well, doesn't it make sense for that ISP to backhaul that content one time to their local hard drive and then or server, and then when someone requests it, it comes straight on the intranet at a much higher speed? And we'll see what happens in that front, but I think this is what we're going to need to get speeds up and improve performance. You know, I'd like to see a model where, you know, the podcasts that are out there and the video casts are out there would be cached up someplace. You know, to employ a CDN is very, very expensive. The average Joe can't do it. But a company like Google could work with all the major companies and put a few servers or whatever it would take to, you know, have the latest, hottest, and greatest, most popular content sitting locally. I'm sure some of that's being done by Microsoft and other companies through Akamai and some of those other networks that are out there, those CDNs that are out there. But, you know, what are we going to have to do to get speed up in our, you know, in our homes? Only time will tell, really. All right, I spent enough time on that. Let's keep on moving here. I'm not going to get through all this stuff tonight. The Mars rover status, boy, it's not looking good for Opportunity. The update that was put out on July 31st says that the dust in the atmosphere is really not being conducive to Opportunity being able to recharge, and they've got Opportunity in a very, very low power regimen, and it's been that way since July 18th. Now, where they had made some progress in getting some additional solar cycles or whatever, you know, to get that battery charged up a little more, but they are very, very close to coming into some critical temperature ranges where component damage can start happening. In other words, being too cold. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on, but Opportunity could fall into a state where the system goes into kind of like a self-preservation mode and where it would trip a low power fault. And when it does that, then the rover essentially systems shut down completely. Now, one thing I didn't realize is that the Opportunity has essentially nuclear-powered batteries on board. It's real low, like a half a watt or something like that. The eight of them are capable of keeping some heaters running, even when the battery is essentially dead. So we'll see what happens here, but the situation is pretty bleak out on Mars for the rovers. And, you know, the atmospheric conditions there is what's going to do the rovers in, I think, if we just keep our fingers crossed that these dust storms let up. All right, next departure for Mars stands ready to fly. The NASA Robotic Explorer is ready to go. It's they were not able to get the launch off yet because of some conditions at the Cape. Keep our eyes on that. We're real fast approaching next week, too, launch of the next space shuttle. So they're taking a bunch of stuff up there. There's an actual progress resupply ship en route right now as well, taking up, I believe, around 5,500 pounds of stuff. The shuttle is loaded with spare parts, a new truss. There's a lot of stuff being hauled up there in the next week. So by the next time the show's up, the progress resupply ship will be up there and will be docked. A little bit of news out of the cell business. Looks like Verizon has announced plans to purchase Rural Cellular Corporation, better known as Unicell. How many of you are on this company's cell system? There's some people that are smiling about it and some that are actually kind of upset that they're actually buying this, because many of those people in those areas were hoping that AT&T would come in and actually start putting up service. And one of the areas affected was Vermont. I would have thought Vermont, my goodness, Vermont should have good cellular coverage. It's up there on the eastern seaboard. Why not, right? But apparently this company services Vermont pretty heavily, And AT&T may be scaling back its rollout because of Verizon's, picking up this company. So they're saying that Verizon has a possibility of picking up about 716,000 more customers in the 14 other rural states. So we'll see what happens there and see if anybody else decides that they're going to jump in. All right, over on the iTunes front, iTunes version 7.3 is available, and if you haven't done a check your Mac computer for an update, there's a pretty big update available as well. Those of you that are Windows users can update to the latest version of iTunes. I saw a very interesting picture on Boing Boing today, and I wanted to point this out to you. I don't think that this is a very smart product to buy. It's called the non-electric housewares that use your plugs and light sockets. And what it is it's a little adapter. It's a hook adapter that connects to a light switch. Now, we all want our kids to turn the lights off, right? Well, this is designed, this hook allows you to put a coat or a hand towel on that switch, which would weigh it down enough to pull it down and switch the switch off. But this is not a good thing for this switch. I would highly advise against using this, because what you're going to do is if you put this little device on and it sticks over the little tab on a light switch, and if you hang a coat on that, that downward pressure that pulls on that, it's just a matter of time before you're going to damage your light switch. Sure, it looks cute. It's a good idea. It's a good way to have make sure kids shut off the power. But this is not a smart thing here to be wrenching, putting that pressure on that switch. Some switches are built better than others, and I'm sure they've tested this, but I just can't imagine this being a smart thing to piggyback on top of your other the other switches in your house. Okay, you would think that AT&T would have worked with Apple real close. Have any of you seen those iPhone displays? You know, they're a big display, and they've got a flat screen monitor that's turned sideways. Well, for those of you that are PC fans, you're going to get a kick out of this. One of those iPhone booths was caught rebooting. And you would think it would be running a Mac OS X. Sorry, those iPhone displays are running Windows XP. Very, very funny. So this is a classic picture. I have a link up in the show notes, of course. And if you've got comments on any of this stuff tonight, you can always call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. 7365. Along with that, some actually good news coming out of Washington, D.C. And this is major here, folks. And here's the title of the article. It's over on TechDirt. It says, bloggers could get the same protection as journalists as long as they're in it for the money. So, you know, there's been some bloggers that have been sued before that the companies were requiring or requesting or trying to get out of the blogger the source for their information. So it looks like a congressional committee has now approved a federal shield law that would protect anyone who gets financial gain or livelihood from their journalistic pursuits, regardless of affiliation. Now, this is facing some opposition, apparently, by the executive administration, but this would definitely go a long way to protecting bloggers. Now, if I can find out if this is actually going to turn into an actual bill number, if they've got a bill number for this, I'm going to go ahead and get you guys cranked up, and maybe we can get more of the congressional representatives aware of this. I think this would be a very, very good thing to have, for not only for podcasters, bloggers. That journalistic shield really would go a long way. Now, in the long run, people are going to get sued regardless, but at least there could be some additional laws on the books to help you in a court case and make it a little bit harder for companies to get those sources out of you when you don't want to reveal that. Okay, Google is on the move. They have showed a phone prototype to vendors. Now, I have a link from Computer World that doesn't have a picture in it. Now, the other site I saw this on was Gizmodo. They had a picture of a phone, and I don't know if they just did a superimpose of a Google browser, but it looks to me, you know, I think the iPhone was, of course, got a lot of publicity, but we'll see what happens when the Google phone comes, because they have spent a huge bucket of money to get this developed, and they're doing it out of the East Coast. I believe they said they were working on it in Boston, and they're making all of their websites super mobile capable, and it's going to be a big screen phone. It appears that Verizon actually, in the United States, Verizon actually decided that they did not want to be involved in the deal. So that leaves two companies. That leaves really T-Mobile and Sprint. Now, T-Mobile, they don't have really, you know, they've got great phone service and good coverage and great plans, but they have terrible, just like AT&T, they got terrible broadband speeds. But Sprint, on the other hand, I'm hoping Sprint gets in the action on this and becomes one of the carriers for this phone. Hopefully it'll be on all the carriers. But they're saying here that they built a browser specifically for the phone, and that they, you know, they're being very serious here. So if this turns out to be something that's going to be introduced, we could see Google, by buying up Spectrum, they become their own wireless carrier to a certain extent. And you can end up with devices, if Google follows their game plan here, open devices that would be able to attach to those networks, of course, for a fee. And if the speed's right, and with all the dark fiber Google has, you know, Google might be a little bigger contender than what everyone has ramped them. You know, we all know Google's big and they've got big intentions. Execution's a different thing, but so far they've been executing pretty good. So we'll see where this goes on this. But if they come in competitively priced against the iPhone, this could really impact Apple in a big way. And they're saying end of the year, it looks like this could be ready to be rolled out. So we will see where it goes from here. I'm pretty excited about that. I would, privacy concerns aside, I would definitely definitely consider buying one of their phones. All right, over on the torrent, some torrent news. The Pirate Bay is about to relaunch Supernova.org. If any of you ever used Supernova was a torrent tracking site, and they had become under so much pressure by the MPAA, RIAA, and so forth, that the crew, the former owner of Supernova.org, decided to donate the domain to the Pirate Bay group, and they're going to relaunch the site. So this is pretty interesting here. You know, the Pirate Bay, they're about ruffling feathers, and this definitely will ruffle some feathers here, a BitTorrent tracker. So we will see what happens in this front. I am sure that this will be a an ongoing issue with the folks over at the RIAA and MPAA as well. So we'll keep an eye out on that as well. All right, there's a interesting article by, and never read this guy's blog before. His name's Mike Grehan, and he's got a actual post on a screenshot from he found from Google. And I want you all to be paying attention when you're doing your Google searches. I want you to look at the very bottom of the search, right around the area where the Google logo is, and it says results page. And you can click 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or next. If you look to the left of that and up, he's starting to see a link on the page. It says, know of a better page for digital cameras, or whatever search term he was putting in there. By expanding that search, by expanding that little box, he was able to enter a website that he liked as a source. And very shortly thereafter, that became the number one listing on a search page. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of search engine optimization people trying to game this. And I don't know exactly what Google's got going here. But it kind of makes sense that they would do this in a certain extent. Now, I don't know how they're going to manage it. But I guess if enough people, and when you have the volume Google's doing, if enough people submitting the best search result, that gives some precedence to some of those generic terms where everyone fights like mad to be the number one. You know, nothing like being having a fan base behind you that says, yeah, when you search for Geek News, the number one listing should be Geek News Central. Or when you search for a podcasting community, the number one search on the Google results is the Blueberry Podcasting Community. Nothing like being able to use the power of a community to make some changes. So keep an eye out for that. If you see that in the wild, definitely take some screenshots and do your own experiment and put in sites that you think are cool and based upon the search query that you had initially put in. All right, there's a little bit of a battle heating up in the Web 2.0 space, and this has got some interesting possibilities here. In that, you know, I've been playing around on Facebook. I think 206 of you are my friends over there, and I've been going on maybe once a day and checking out different things on Facebook. But there's a website called NetVibes that they build a Facebook widget that allows users to view their Facebook notifications and friends on NetVibes. So they took one, they took a page right out of the playbook that Facebook had done. My Facebook said, oh, you can bring all your friends from your other services over here. Well, now a company has taken and said, oh, by the way, since you like using NetVibes, you can bring all your Facebook friends over to our site. This could get ugly here real quick, because as much as I don't like walled gardens, Facebook and these other services are really walled gardens. And it's something that we've started to address over at Raw Voice and looking at how we can make our sites to the point where people can take their profiles with them, where they can take their data. You know, we don't want to have a walled garden. We're looking at ways to implement that. And be more open, and not, because, you know, a lot of these sites, really, their business model is based upon, you know, how many users they've got signed up and how much time they spend on the site. So when you have competing services like NetVibes, you know, essentially removing the need to go back to the Facebook site, that's pretty powerful stuff. Now, what you do is you take and make that widget so that you can drop that widget on your blog. You'll never need to go to Facebook to look at stuff, except maybe to confirm friends or something to that nature. You'd be able to have all your Facebook data on your blog and, you know, maintain that relationship back on your site instead of having to maintain it somewhere else. I think that's important, and that's, you know, that's some of the stuff that we're looking at too. All right, those of you that carry your MP3 players around, in particular your iPods, and if any of you ever have had an iPod stolen, there's a great article up. It was a Dateline piece, and it's actually a 6-page story, and I didn't get to see the Dateline actual edition. They set up a sting kind of similar to what they've done to Catch a Predator, but instead they were to catch an iPod thief. And, you know, they did their typical hidden camera stuff and then finding the people through a little bit of mischievous doings. And they were able to talk to a lot of the people that had actually stolen iPods. And the question is, why can't Apple do some of this? So I'll let you all take a look at this Dateline story. Very, very good one. And when you're out there, out and about, be real careful with your media devices. Okay, if you are a Sony CyberShot DSC T5 digital still camera owner, make sure that you definitely get over to Geek News Central, get into the show notes, look for the listing for Sony Recall, Sony is going to be fixing some CyberShot DSCT5s that had some defects. So definitely look at this. There's a warning out that the defect could actually cause a person to get scratched. So they've got this recall open. I guess there's like 400. How many? It was a huge number. 450,000 cameras that were out there. No, this is a pretty popular camera in Japan. I don't know about here in the United States, but there is a recall out for that particular camera. If any of you want to listen to your iTunes library on the web when you're at work, definitely check out anywhere.fm. This is a new site out there. It's similar to some sites that we had seen at the Consumer Electronics Show. I think the one that I had actually, the folks I had interviewed were the folks at Songbird, I think was the company that I talked about. But anywhere.fm lets you take your music with you when you're at work, and it competes with services such as MP3 Tunes, StreamPad, Songbird, MediaMaster, Radio Blog Club, Blog Music, and a few others. So link will be up in the show notes on this. All right, you know, last year I was just like everyone else, got in on the Second Life craze. A lot of companies have as well. I know Wired was over there, and a number of companies built online properties in Second Life. But there's an article up today on thelongtail.com talking about why I gave up on Second Life. So this is a very interesting article about essentially the money that they spent and the actual amount of exposure they got within Second Life. You know, it's just impossible to be in Second Life all the time. And it really turns out that these virtual companies are not getting as much bang for their buck as they think they are. You know, where I still have a building up in Second Life. It's over near where Adam Curry's castle was originally. And we get some traffic through there. We're right next door to the Podcast Ready folks. They've bought up a huge amount of land and have built on it. And anytime that I've been on Second Life in the last 6 months, I never see anybody in their area or even in ours. So, you know, it's kind of like a wasteland. You got all these buildings that have been built up in Second Life, yet there's hardly anyone around. And, you know, I've tried doing a little bit of advertising and some other promotions to get people in and, you know, put up kiosks with the podcast playing and different stuff. I quite honestly don't have a time here, but this is a huge, huge, huge article with lots of comments as well. So this will take a while to read through, but some good insight to why virtual companies, you know, it's not working out real well in Second Life. And, you know, we had done it as an experiment. We didn't ever plan that it was going to be something that we would make money on. And I think I still pay 15. I think that's what it is, 15 bucks a month for my land rental. New York Times has an article up on please don't steal this web content. And while we're all used to the most bloggers have had their content scraped and put up on another site, it did link me to a website that I was not familiar with before that I was playing around with a little bit tonight called Copyscape at copyscape.com. And they have two services. One is called Copy Sentry. It's a professional protection against plagiarism. And the other product is a premium service of that. And while I put in my domain name and did a search and would look through some of the stuff that they found, most of it was stuff that was syndicated that I don't mind being moved around. I did find a couple of sites that someone had scraped my data and stripped out some of the referring information back to the website. But are any of you using this service? You know, I use a lot of different search engines. I use Technorati. I use Google Search. I use a number of search engines with specific keyword clauses that I look for our content being scraped out there. And generally, you know, I look at the sites and it just takes too much time to You know, if I tracked down every person that was essentially stealing the content off the website, I'd have to do it an hour a day. And sadly, though, I do see in search results, I see our data showing up on other sites. So it is cause an issue sometimes from indexing. But there was one piece of advice in the New York Times article beyond trying out a Copyscape that you can do that I'm going to try. I got to figure out which movable type tags to put in. But in the body of your posting, actually put the actual link to that specific article in the body someplace. Now, you're going to say, well, why would you put the body of the link actually in the posting itself? Well, for the simple fact that they won't be stripping that. They strip everything else, and but they want that body of information. And by putting that link in the body of information, when Google does the actual crawling of a website, then they'll say, oh, that article originally came from there. That's one of the things that Google says that they're using to as a part of their logarithm to determine who the actual article belongs to. We'll see how long it takes for these guys to catch on and start stripping out other links in the website as well. Those of you that are Mac users, and if you have not already run Windows or Windows XP via Parallels, there's a new program out there called Fusion. Fusion is the latest way for Macs to operate Windows PC software. It looks like it's got some definite advantages, being that in difference between Parallels, you can find Fusion, and it's available for $80 at VMware.com. And along with Bootcamp and Parallels, this is a third option out there available. So we'll see. If anyone's using Fusion, how do you like it? There's an article up here that was written by Walt Mossberg that is a pretty good review of it. So if you're interested in checking out Fusion, I would go ahead and link into Walt's article and read that first. But if you've used it yourself, I'd love to hear your feedback on this. Doug Kay on his website is posting a article that's taking a shot at Apple. And, you know, Doug's well respected. He's got great recording gear. Does good tutorials. You know, he's a great leader in the space. And when he calls somebody out for an issue, you know, I have a tendency to pay attention to what he has to say. He's talking about a major defect in the Apple 30-inch cinema display monitors. And he is not at all happy with what he's seeing on his display, in that he's got these green pixelation that's showing up within the actual monitor itself. And it's not just a few green pixels poking through, it's a lot. And I guess this is he's not the only person having an issue here. There's an ongoing discussion that's been going on for over 2 years with more than 400 message postages to a thread that's available on the Apple website on their discussion forums. He says if he had it to do it all over again, he would have just bought the Dell 30-inch monitor instead and saved a few hundred bucks. So he's telling everyone right now, if you're considering such a large monitor, I urge you to avoid the temptation to buy the Apple product until the company deals with this problem. And if you're at work, and if you work at Apple, hey, what are you guys doing there? Remember us, the customers. Now, you know, I've looked at those monitors. Those monitors are beautiful. I don't think I've ever seen one of the Dell 30 inches. But if Doug says stay away from the Apple 30-inch monitor, that is advice worth its weight in gold. Trust him implicitly on that type of a comment. So if you're thinking about making that move to a 30-inch Apple monitor, you know, I encourage you heavily to go over and look at this link and see what he has to say, and consider buying the Dell monitor instead. There's no reports on any of the online forums that they're having problems with the Dell monitors. Okay, got an article about if you're becoming a Linux system administrator, lots of great key commands here, 50 quick Linux command tips. And this is part 3 of I guess, I don't know how many articles he's going to have, but it's available up online. I have a link to it in the show notes. And if any of you read Doc Searle's website, he's actually moved his website. I'll have a link up to his new website and an article that he talks about what he calls the Fiverr sales maze. And this goes into kind of some of the stuff we talked about earlier. He is moving into an area in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he's looking at the different high-speed options out there. There's three competing suppliers. I wish I had three competing suppliers here. Verizon, the Verizon Fios, the RCL. I guess RCL is a different company that's providing that type of service, and Comcast. And so far, based upon everything he's seen, he looks like that Verizon is the hands-down winner thus far, at least on push speed. So if you're looking to change your service and you live out in those areas where those companies are involved, definitely check out what Doc Searles has to say. Good news on the internet radio situation. Senators Wyden and Brownback promised to push an Internet Radio Equality Act. And this is very telling, at least a few of the congressional representatives out there. And these one is Wyden's a Democrat, Brownback's a Republican. They have decided to co-sponsor this bill. And what they're saying here is the Internet Radio Equality Act, which hopes to chuck the new extravagant rates decided upon the Copyright Royalty Board and return to a flat percentage of revenue model. They both decry the recording industry's use of minimum pre-station fees to leverage broadcast into DRM, which fails to respect established principles of fair use and consumer rights. Oorah. Finally, we got someone here that is paying attention, so we'll see what happens with this. We are going to have to probably get out there and support this. I'm going to get as much information as I can on it and see how people weigh in and make sure the language is good, and I'll get back with you on this on the next show. But definitely check this out. We'll definitely want to politically involved and get this help get this pushed through. All right, the Apollo Image Archive is available by Arizona State University. It's at apollo.sese.asu.edu. They're putting thousands of Apollo images are being made available online in high resolution. So you're gonna some of these are amazing. They really are. They only have some of the images up. They're adding more on a daily basis. Big news it made out here in Hawaii is when the feds raided video game modders in 16 states. Hawaii was one of them. They arrested some people for having PlayStation 2, Xbox, and Wii console mod chips that allowed those hardware that hardware to play video games. You know, that were essentially you know, video games that had been copied. So it allowed the essentially a violation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. You know, this is a big thing. You know, overseas, you can get mod chips for anything. You can go into any electronic store, and if you want a mod chip for a PlayStation, you can get it. You know, they're easily available. Xbox is the same thing. You know, I think pricing on those is well under $60 maybe for a chip to mod mod these devices. But big crackdown within the United States, and a lot of people are probably facing penalties and jail time on this. So we'll see what happens with the news. I didn't hear who it was here that actually got busted, but I know some people did. Okay, you know, of course, I guess I should have covered this at the beginning of the show. Hearts go out to all those folks in Minnesota that were affected by this this catastrophe on the bridge. And hearts go out to those families. You know, I think what this is going to do is it's going to make most of us really become aware of, you know, we should be paying attention already to the aging infrastructure within the United States. Here in Hawaii, they're facing massive fines by the EPA because the sewage system is out of date, and they have to influx millions of dollars to get that fixed. You know, this reporting that's coming out saying that, you know, there's over 177,000 bridges in the United States that have got some sort of issues. In other words, there's been some type of an inspection done, and, you know, anything from corrosion to cracks to needing replacement. You know, this is just a prime example here that while we don't know the full, we won't know the full cause of this accident for, I'm sure, a long, long time. It just goes to show that we need to pay attention to the infrastructure within the United States. You know, we had a power blowout in San Francisco recently. This could be, this could be really bad. Now, they say that during the 1990s, more than 500 bridges failed in the United States. Now, it appears that most of these were out-of-the-way bridges that failed slowly and actually gave some indication that they were dangerous, but this went down in a dramatic style and sadly killed a bunch of people. So we'll see if this brings some attention to it. We'll hope it does. You know, we're going to have to start investing in America again and getting our infrastructure back up to speed. Okay, running out of time here. I have a couple of more quick articles to go over. John Dvorak isn't just cranky, he's cranky and wrong. Well, Marshall Kilpatrick, him and I don't get along on a lot of subjects. But this one, he hit the nail right on the head. He really did. And so there's a good article here. Essentially, good old John had posted some very contentious statements about Web 2.0 and how the bubble's going to come to an end and everything's going to crash again and it's going to be this just, you know, like before and all this money's going to be lost and, you know, okay. He's really out there at times. He really, really is. I respect what he does, but man, he's made some interesting, you know, early on in my podcasting. Oh my goodness. He didn't have anything positive to say about it. So now what is he going to do? He's going to be, if I remember correctly, he's going to be working for Podshow, and he's talking bad about social communities and stuff. Kind of weird. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Okay, before the shuttle launches, for the Endeavour launches, NASA is going to be replacing a leaky valve found in the space shuttle's cabin. So a little bit of repair work going on before blast off next Tuesday or Wednesday. I guess it's Tuesday is when it's scheduled to head out. So we'll keep an eye on that and keep you advised of what's going on. All right, got some first thing I want to do is my good friend Trucker Tom sent me a promo, and I'm going to play his promo here. Then we'll get into some voicemail content. Hey, always play the positive and negative voicemails. I've got a few contentious voicemails tonight, but in all fairness, definitely going to play them. And everybody be nice, and it's some of it's well deserved. So go ahead and I'll play this promo from Trucker Tom first, and then we'll get into the actual email comments as well. I mean, actually, after the voicemail.
Hey, this is Ron from Zip 71101 Podcast, and I'm glad that you are listening to Trucker Tom. Trucker Tom is a great guy, and you'll enjoy his podcast every single day. Not only that, have you seen Finding America, his new HD high-definition video podcast? If not, you need to get on board. It's a great podcast, and you'll enjoy every single minute of it. And while you're at it, come on over to Zip71101.com and take a listen. See you there.
Man, I wish I had those kind of pipes. Great voice, great promo. Check out Trucker Tom's website, and I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. Check out his new high-def show as well. All right, let's get into the first voicemail of the night. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. This is Rob from Michigan.
Hey, Rob.
Just listening to show 286, catching up on some of the podcast. And you had talked about, you'd asked if people we're using VoIP service, and I am using one called VoIP Your Life, and I pay $24.99 a month. The neat thing about it, and that gives me unlimited, long distance and local calling and all the features you'd ever want, call forwarding, but the really neat feature is that they support a soft phone called X-Lite. That way, I installed it onto my laptop, and wherever I go with the broadband connection, I can essentially call any number using my laptop. So I'm really happy with them. They have customer service and tech support, and they're really top-notch. And when I did a search looking at VoIP services about a year ago, I saw that they actually had a positive rating, and everybody else, Vonage and Sunrocket and everybody else, was about 50-50, so very pleased with their service, and I just want to recommend them. Love the show. Keep up the great work, and talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that comment. I appreciate it, and the quality was good. Sounded real well on there. If you called in via the line, it It sounded very decent. Thanks for the tip on that particular voice IP service.
Hey, Todd. My name's George. I'm a listener for a couple of years.
Hey, George.
You know, you self-admit that you have some grammar and pronunciation issues.
Sure
and,
do.
Generally, I can, you know, kind of not be too...
Be harsh.
Put off by it. But I had to call finally and ask you about Symantec, the makers of Norton Utilities, et cetera. I work for them, not in that area, but and so it just kind of does great when you mispronounce that particular name. So say it with me 10 times. Symantec.
You mean Symantec? Symantec.
Thanks. Keep good work. Bye.
Thanks for calling, and I will try to be better. All right. All right. Here comes the next one.
Hi, Todd. It's Kevin Crossman.
Hey, Kevin.
You asked for feedback regarding text messaging.
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you, I have probably sent more text messages in the last month now that I have an iPhone with a good keyboard than I ever have with my old, you know, 9-10-digit, you know, keypad in 5 years on cell phones. Part of the reason I haven't sent a lot of text messages is, man, they're expensive for what you get. And I think your story the other day talking about the megabit cost is just crazy. I mean, they're so expensive. And why should I have to pay $10, $20 extra for these little tiny messages? Call me an old fart because I'm, you know, 40. but I just don't get why you would use that instead of email. I mean, I get the whole... I'm mobile, I can send a message to someone, and sometimes text is helpful rather than calling them, but man, it's expensive. And just this is your grammar lesson of the day. Symantec.
Symantec.
Not Symantec.
Symantec.
Symantec. Symantec. Repeat after me. Ha, good. You're on your way. Thanks
All
very
right.
much, Todd. Bye.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks so much for the call. And, hey, you know, the... Yeah, I think some people are going to be doing more text messaging if they have a little better keyboard thing with the iPhone. So, yeah, a lot of great comments on that stuff. So we'll make sure that we keep saying that one company's name right, too. Okay. As far as the Trucker Tom site, you can go over to TruckerTomPodcast.com. His HD site is TruckerTomHD.com as well. So I'll have those links up in the show notes. Got an email from Jean Franchot. I hope I pronounced that correct. He said, I was listening to your latest podcast. I've been using Thunderbird for the past 24 months or so. I use the portable version of it. And because of this, it is a little bit slower than when it loads from my hard disk. Thunderbird works just great for me. I had some issues in the past with attachments, which I tried to avoid, but now everything is fine. I imported all of my email from Outlook XP, and I never reused Outlook for my own email addresses ever. My use of the email is to look on a regular basis on the webmail interface, and from time to time I download all the remaining messages using Thunderbird. At some point I had over a gigabyte of email, and Thunderbird never had a problem on accessing any message. Filing messages and attachments always worked very well for me. I hope that the loading time of Thunderbird will improve over time, as it is a little bit slow. And this is not only because it loads off my secure USB device. Great show. I always enjoy it. Good luck with your shopping for a house. Yes, the shopping continues. And thanks for the review on Thunderbird. Got an email from Richard. Hey, I noticed you covered real estate website based like Zillow and thought you may like a quick heads up with some news about a competitor of theirs called Street Advisor. And this came from Richard over at FutureWorks Incorporated. He sent me a press release. So it's streetadvisor.com. Definitely check that. I checked that out, Richard. Pretty good site as well. Nice to see some competition in that space. Got an email from, what's this one? Alan sent me, what did you send? Oh, Alan sent me a simple text message. I do not text message. So Alan, thanks for your feedback. Got an email from Kevin. He says, hey, Todd, not sure you talked about this before, but I found a site for free iPhone wallpaper, and it's 320x480.com. Keep up the good work. You definitely have the best podcast out there. Well, thanks for the kind words, Kevin. Definitely appreciate it. 320x480.com. Got an email from Eric. He says, I prefer texting to talking, especially for short conversations, I guess because I started my cell phone experience in Japan. August of 99, December 2004. One thing that makes me mad, I didn't say here that what he actually said, is the cost of texting in the USA. Texting should be free or very, very cheap. Also, texting in Japan is really not texting. It's full-featured email with attachments and all. They're not trying to nickel and dime you to death with an extra service just to send pictures. Also, it could be that you're just too old to text. I'm not too old to text. But if I had a full-function phone like they have in Japan, and I've actually had a phone from Japan, when I go over there, I have a pay-as-you-go-type phone. You're right. Man, they are so far, and it's full-featured. Everyone does email via their phone. They don't. They're with a regular small flip phone, you know, not like a BlackBerry or anything like that. So, okay, got an email from JP. I said, I know, Todd, how can the FCC be that blase? Well, maybe that's the wrong question to ask considering all their other lameness. Also, I wrote you last week about a GNC newsletter issue. I hope you'll still consider a simple Geek News Central hyperlink atop each of the email newsletters. It really should be there in addition to the Twitter and Facebook links, don't you think? Good luck with us. Efforts, and thanks again for the great podcast. You know the reason why I don't put it in there? Because it's kind of odd to put it in the actual show notes, but I may have a solution for you, JP, for that in there. It'll probably link back to the actual article. Got an email from Kevin. He says, hey, yes, texting charges are expensive per message. I receive messages from servers and databases that I manage, about 40 per month, average length 75 bytes. My daughter texts a lot, several hundred a month, average length 15 bytes. If you sent their 200 bytes per message, I'm sure they would want to charge more. The bit stream for a text message is so small as compared to a voice message, they could send all the text you wanted for free and never notice a change in the network. You're exactly right. It's just a scam. It really, really is. And I got an email from Andrew. He says, hey, Todd, thanks for the link to panoravan.com. It looks impressive. So I just wrote a 2,500-word article about companies who offer on-demand book services. I found the quality of them to be really good. Here's a link to that. And he says, with regard to Panoravan, he says, the full-screen book view, which you can upload and make available for people to view, is fantastic. I've noticed they have a contest, and you can win that iPhone you wanted, plus a year of service. The grand prize winner gets to choose one of the following: an 8-gig Apple iPhone, plus allowances towards one free service, or a 40-inch Sony Bravia Series LCD flat panel HDTV. Let me think. Hard choice. Yeah, I'd take the iPhone. So there you go, folks. You want a chance to win an iPhone or a flat-screen monitor, go to panoravan.com and get involved in our contest over there. I'll have a link up to that, too, in the show notes, and thanks, Andrew, for that submission. Hey, all of you can send me cool stuff like this, too, at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Keep those great voicemail comments coming, good, positive, negative, bashing, whatever it may be. We play them all. 619-342-7365. And don't be nervous about smacking me up, okay? You're all family here. You really are. And you can say the way you want it. You know, you can talk to me as a friend, and it's fine. Don't be embarrassed to call. It really is not a big deal. All right. And as always, hey, thanks for being part of the family here, being part of the Ohana. Tell people about the show. Please support our sponsors if you can. And as always, you'll have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you back here next Tuesday. Take care and aloha.